Hello everyone, so I decided this will be my last episode talking about my sexual past. When I was 'surviving the effects of the sexual economic exploitation that I was directly brutalized in and by in childhood. One of the effects was I was meeting women that were not used to chivalry nor gentle manliness from a man. So they were used to men interrupting them when they spoke. I never did that to them, and they were attracted to that. They were used to men speaking aggressively, lacking soft-spokenness in their vocal speech. I tended to have a soft-spoken voice all the time, and I maintained that with them. And I did not ever speak aggressively to them. They were attracted to that. They were used to men using misogynistic slurs in their audible interactions with them. I never once used a misogynistic slur in our audible interactions. They were attracted to that. I do remember when I would talk to them, I always looked them in the eye. They were used to men looking at their breasts, their gluteus maximus, and their hips and waist during interaction. And I remember them expressing gratitude of heartfelt joy that I wasn't that type of person. I wasn't that type of man. So I remember how they would want me to feel on their chests, buttocks, and hips while talking, and I was uncomfortable with that. I tried my best not to. And I used the word try because they were very insistent and persistent that I do so. And I remember telling them how much I don't want to. I would tell them, I'm not trying to have sex with you. I'm not interested in doing that. And I told them, I'm not saying that you're not a beautiful woman, but I don't have a heart to make a move on you. I just want to treat you the way a man should treat you. I don't have any ulterior motives when it comes to you and other women. I just want to know you. I don't want to be nosy. I don't want to be a busybody. I just want to know the person that you are. I want to revere the person that you are. And I don't want my interactions with women to just be purely sexual or purely lovey-dovey, and that's it. I don't want to do the whole sex lovey-dovey thing. Not because you're not attractive, but women need to be used to a man being legitimately kind without all the physicality obsession. They were blown away by what I said and all of the excitable ways I could see it in their demeanor in their verbiage. So I remember they eventually said, but I need you to be sexual with me, but not in the way most men would, but in a, I need a gentleman to be sexual with me when I need that. And they said, I know that you dot every I and cross every T when it comes to hospitality towards women. And they said, that's why I want you to start making moves on me. I want you to literally jump on top of me and sexually lead the way. And I was wrestling with this in my heart because I'm thinking to myself, I'm doing my best to not treat her the way my mom's brother treated women. I am trying my best not to treat women the way organized crime did when I was a child. I am trying my best to be the good, courteous man that my grandma Clara raised me to be. And I felt like those values at the time were being trampled upon. I was just like, it was agonizing to me. And I tried my best to maintain my no. I tried my best not to give into the coercion. I didn't know how to consistently stay in my no. I didn't know how to consistently say no. And I was trying with what I knew at the time. That was the attempts of courage that I was making. But I gave in because after explaining to the woman, you know what kind of man I am. I want to, maybe later, but can I just know you without sex and romance? I'm trying to change my dynamics with women. And I remember telling them, growing up, I was taught, you know, every time you deal with a woman, sex and romance got to be involved, and sex is the very first thing, and sometimes it got to be the only thing to you and a woman. And I remember saying these words to the women, saying, I need you to help me change this. Can I not have that with women? Can I just be friendly, be a true friend? And even though they really expressed verbal appreciation of all these things, they still were like, but, and they were like, Antonio, you know, you're not what is called a male pig. You're not a slop. You're not a slime ball. You know, you don't have to totally cut out sex and romance when you're dealing with women, interacting with women. And at the time, I felt like I had to do that. And I was trying to, but it kept being to no avail because, again, because of the trauma, I prioritized women's happiness more than I did my own. And I was wrestling with these things. And I was wrestling with the things of, how do I respect myself and women simultaneously? How can I not over-respect women or under-respect women? Even the concept of over-respecting women was appalling to me, you know, appalled me, because I'm like, but how can you be too nice or too good to a person? What are you saying? I should be too mean or too disrespectful? It was just rough for me to think about. It was traumatic contemplation. And so I told the women, I said, okay, if we do anything sexual, you can't press charges against me because, and they wouldn't even let me finish. They're like, Antonio, every woman knows you're not a sexual harasser. You'll never have to deal with the court system when it comes to us. So sexually, I started feeling on their chest, buttocks, hip ratio the way they wanted me to. Every way that a hand can sexually explore a body part consensually, in the case of their chest, buttocks, hips, and waist, I did everything that you can think of. Let's just leave it at that. You fill in the blanks. Respectfully, I state that. So, and I remember talking to the women when I would touch them, and I would look, and I would constantly check in with them. And I would say, you know, and at first I did that, and the women would say, and Tony, instead of you constantly checking in, just go by the sounds I make and what I say out of my mouth, and that'll let you know what you should do next, what you should keep doing, or do something else. Just go by my social cues, and you'll know how to transition, you know how to take it from there. And it was more agonizing to do so. So I did it, but did I fully enjoy it? No, because I just felt like I was being something I wasn't. I was trying to be true to myself. When you're trauma, you do a lot of trying, and you say trying a lot. So eventually the full-blown sex happened. And let's just put it this way. All of what you see in porn that doesn't run afoul of the feminist movement, the type of sex that a feminist can go, well, okay, this is not law-breaking, this is not perverted, just what's the best way to put it? All of the super freaky stuff that you could think of that we did. The super freaky stuff that you can say and do in terms of the unconventional sex, we did all that. I let you fill in the blanks on that. And again, I say that respectfully. So, I remember the women even told me, grope me and fondle me. And I was like, you said I'm not a harasser. Why are you using that harasser talk? And they were like, no, this is not harasser talk. I'm telling you to do it. So how's it harassment if I'm ordering you to do it, knowing that I'm saying what I'm saying? And so I did it, but in my heart I was hesitant, because it's like, I did not feel worthy to touch a woman. I did not feel worthy to look at a woman. I did not feel worthy to have anything to do with a woman. At the time, I was trying my best to stay away from women. I felt like, could I be a monster to women at the time? I never abused a woman. No. Never laid hands on one violently. Never cursed one out. Never yelled at one. Just never did those things. And at the time, I was so afraid of being my mom's brother and the organized crime figures of my childhood. So with women, I was trying my best to keep a healthy distance. I was obsessed with self-disclosure. I'm like, I gotta make sure when I reveal information about myself, it can't be the way a male misogynist would. I gotta do it all healthy, like a good man would. I really felt these feelings. It was intense feelings I was feeling. And I remember I eventually did what they wanted me to do, but the way I would do it, I wouldn't be too much into it, and I also wasn't a bump on a log, so I was in the middle ground with it in terms of they wanted me to grow up and fondle them, so I did. But I would do it very slowly. Because in my mind, I just don't know. She might have a flashback. And her mood might change. So let me just slowly. And they would look at me and say, yeah, normally, faster. So I did it the normal, faster way. And it was traumatically nerve-wracking, the entire ordeal. I remember vacationing with women sometimes on a handful of occasions. They like to go to Atlanta. So a handful of times, these were rich women, right? They did not like the Orlando International Airport. And these were women of the 1%, meaning these women would make millions of dollars every year. They came from rich families and they had their own entrepreneurial businesses, real estate, beauty products, hair products. They had highfalutin relationships with banks, so they would be on like boards and commissions, and they knew some heavy hitters, as they called them. So these prestigious relationships added to their wealth. They had at least 10 streams of income, more than the typical 7 or 8, because they kept doing deals with people that would make them hundreds of millions of dollars a month. So by the end of every year, they would make Forbes list type of rich people money. So these women, they were more economically powerhouse than the upper class. So they would take me on their private jet that they had. They had private jets. And they would just fly me from, they would fly with me, well, I would fly with them, I should say, from their mansion, and they would take off in the air. And while we would, this happened only a handful of times, small amount of times, not very much, very seldom. We took off in the air, and while we were in the air, these rich women and myself, suddenly they would get horny. And because of trauma, I was taught when a woman would get horny, you got to get horny too. And even though you're not horny, make yourself horny. So my body, because of the trauma, would instantly make itself horny. So what happened was that we would go in the private jet lavatory, and let's just say sexually, everything said and everything done spicy would be an understatement. Let's just leave it at that. So yeah, I joined what is called the Mile High Club. I remember on the planes, I remember the women would just, they would serve buffet type meals. The stuff that you would see out in the open, you walk in and you pick your food of your choosing. They had that on the private jet. You know, they had like restaurant staff on the private jet. They could afford it that much. And it was mostly women, because they trusted women to look after them, because these rich women tried having men looking after them, just making sure, hey, you know, respect my affairs. Affairs in this case means money, business stuff, and, you know, make sure I'm well fed, I'm paying you, you're my cook, or just any type of business arrangement they had. Like, you know, if you're going to be my household staff member, just make sure things are fine. And the men turned out to be crooks. So they decided all women are going to be my household staff. And, you know, in their minds, I'm heterosexual, so I can't be tempted by a woman. So they were like, well, Antonio's the only man that I ever trust in life. Because they never trusted a man until they met me. The way we met, it was, usually the way I would meet women, I would walk around and they would drive up on me, like I mentioned in past episodes. And that was the way I would meet these rich women. They would pull up on me in their luxurious vehicles, and I would get in the car. Like, I would get in other women's cars when they would drive up on me. You know, the attraction. Trauma-inspired, came to me, but when it came to them, it may have been trauma-inspired, but it was genuine, too, and a little bit genuine on my part. It was never disingenuous on my part, or, you know, anybody's part, but trauma can get in the way of full genuineness, that's for sure. That's what I mean. So, I remember that the household staff that were women also found me attractive. So I talked to the rich one. I was like, your household staff member, ladies, they have the hots for me. What do you think? And the rich women, to my surprise, were like, yeah, I know. They told me. And I told them to tell you how they really felt. I'm like, okay, you feel that way about him, you tell him. And then they said, before you tell him, just know that I'm cool with you having the hots for him. And so my mouth dropped. And I was like, well, okay, what do you want them to do with their attraction to me? They said, hey, you're a rare breed of a good man. So if they tell you that they want you to, as they say, bow chicken wow wow, their exact words was, "You always have my blessing on that." They always have my blessing on it too. And they say, "Yeah, one of the reasons why I got a household staff member lady is because I want you to have more sex, and I want you to have more women in your life, and I want you to have more women attracted to you in your life." This is what the rich women told me. So I remember saying, "Well, how do you want the sex to be individual, like me, but separately with each of them, including yourself?" And they laughed at that part. They're like, "Well, every time you have sex, Antonio, with my household staff, I'm gonna be there, you know, because it's a household." And I laughed too, nervously, but they were like, "No, you can really laugh, Antonio. It's okay." So I did. I laughed. And I remember, this is all top of my head, by the way. So I remember saying to them, "Are you saying that you wouldn't mind having an orgy with your household staff member ladies?" They said, "If that's what they want, sure. If they want you to for themselves individually, I'll be there and watch, because I just, because the warrior exhibitionist in me, yeah, I want to see if they look, if they tell me to join in, I will." And then they said, if they want you individually, but be somewhere else in the home, I'll just be nearby listening. Either way, I'm going to hear it." So, when it came to so there were times where I would have individual sex with each of the household staff membership, all of them being women, as I told you earlier. There were times where I had sex with each of them, and the rich women who owned the luxurious properties that we were in, because they took me to their homes, luxurious homes, and the women would be nearby listening to our audible sex. And there were times where the women, rich women, told me that they self-pleasured to our audible sex. You know what self-pleasuring means. And let's just say, juicy is an understatement when it came to the sex I was having with her entire household staff membership women. There were times where myself, the rich women, the household staff members would have a massive orgy. Let's just say that wild is an understatement. There were times where I would have sex with the rich women individually, and the household staff members that were all women would self-pleasure as they were listening. And when I say the rich women were listening or the household staff members were listening, meaning the doors were closed. Now, when the orgies happened, the doors were flung open. And the sex with the rich women, let's just say acrobatics is an understatement. So, yes, did I have sex with household staff members that were women? In the lavatory of the lavatory of their private jet? Yes, and all I can say is gymnastics is an understatement. So, I remember the rich women took me on their private jet to Atlanta. And the reason why there's no camera footage or pictures of me with women, because I think subconsciously there was some shame to what we were doing. So we talked about it. And the reason why that you don't see any footage of me or pictures of us is because every woman I ever slept with was a victim of physical abuse, sexual abuse. And so even though we were sexual doing what we were doing, I think because of the trauma and because there was a genuine attraction there, it may not have been totally healthy because of the pain, but we meant each other well, as best as well could be at that time. We talked about it and said, well, at the time, we did not want the whole world to have evidence of what we were doing in terms of seeing us together, in terms of photography and filmography, because we didn't think that the world would be kind to us. So that's why we never took pictures or photographs. I talked to all the women, and they all felt the same way. Plus, all the women I dealt with, well, I shouldn't say dealt with, that's misogynistic, I apologize, ladies. All the women I interacted with, that I slept with, they had body image issues. I did too, back then. And I'm not violating anybody's privacy nor confidentiality when I tell you my sexual past stories, because they all gave me permission to. They said, if you ever, you know, Antonio, we know you're going to be famous one day. We know you're going to be a media mogul one day. So when you get your platform, you can talk about what we did. We will give you permission to say that much. That's as close as it can get to our whole business being out there. And the reason why I share these things is because a lot of people have faced what I faced in life. You'd be amazed at how many people can go, Antonio, your whole story is my whole story too. And it's not a bandwagon, get on the bandwagon effect. It ain't that. A lot of people have lived my kind of life more than I ever could psychologically imagine. So here we go. So yeah, we did not feel totally good about our bodies. And did we have sexual performance issues, like feeling fully good about the sex? And, you know, was there some angst and discomfort and worry and emptiness and anxiety, depression that happened that was outside of the sex that fused its way in? Yes. Don't get me wrong, we were still able to have multiple full body orgasms. But it took us a long time because of the sexual performance trauma we faced before we met each other when we were children. So that did come into play. And so I remember, I wanted to answer that question because he used to go, wait a minute, nobody, no scrapbook, no photo album, no tape, no recording. There has to be you and some women. They didn't want that because we actually talked about it and said they didn't feel comfortable with any of that. They were like, I'd rather you just tell this story than to suffer the shame of, oh my God, you and I, and this is out for the internet forever. And they didn't want that. They were like, well, YouTube is popular, so people could take our photos and put on the YouTube channels just to critique or have opinions. They didn't want that. They were like, we don't want to be on Daily Motion or Vimeo or YouTube or Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or Snapchat or... They didn't even want to be on TikTok. They're like, no. I mean, they were the type that TikTok, no, they didn't want that. But they did give me permission to say, hey, you can at least tell the story and we can still, you know, still be left with our dignity. So that's what happened. Sorry, ladies. I had to stop myself from saying that word. When in reference to y'all, okay. When I interacted and with women and the ones I slept with, we all just said, you know what? The memories in my head are good enough. And I agreed with them. So I know it sounds far-fetched, unbelievable. Like, come on, no woman wanted to. Remember, when you're a trauma survivor, you usually have sex with other trauma survivors. You usually do what you were trained to do with other people who are trained to do the exact same thing too. So yes, it's very common for trauma survivors in the beginning to sleep with each other because that person understands, this person understands. This person will make my body be shamed, like, and I know I wouldn't do that to them. Don't get me wrong, it's okay for trauma survivors to be attracted to each other independent of trauma. Yes, there are healthy sex life realities between trauma survivors. Yes, there's healthy dating between trauma survivors. Yes, there's healthy non-monogamous dynamics, healthy healthy monogamous dynamics that happen between trauma survivors. All these things are true. But when you start getting an understanding consciously of I've been hurt, you've been hurt, a lot of times us as trauma survivors, we don't know how to give each other what we were robbed of before we met each other. Don't get me wrong, there's plenty of stories of trauma survivors who it worked out well for them, meaning they got the help they needed in all the ways that worked out well for them. And they were able to give each other what they robbed up for and met each other. So there's a negative part of it, and then there's a positive part of it. I'm just giving you both tales of the overarching story, right? And tales of truth, T-A-L-E-S, right? So that's what occurred. I remember at times with the women, the rich women and household staff members that were women. The rich women stayed in luxurious hotels with, well, me, I should say, I stayed in luxurious hotels with them. They put the hotel name under their name. But it wasn't a real name. They used the name of a person that was a family friend But because we didn't stay in hotels a whole lot, the family friend never knew. But they chose a woman family friend because they knew if it was the man's name, somehow they felt like the man would find out and we would all be sitting ducks. So they used a family friend that was a woman of their family. So after we were checking the room together, this happened with a handful of weekends. I'll say less than, you know, five or less times. So it's about 5 weekends where that happened. It was seldom where I got to go to Atlanta with the women. We did road trips sparsely too, because they all had homes, but every now and then they wanted to, you know, get away from their homes just to be with me. Well, so I could be with them. So once we settled into the hotels, we ended up having sex in hotels, but hotel sex was very difficult because, to tell you the truth, hotel sex is not that easy. In the movies, they make it seem like nobody cares what y'all doing in the room. But in reality, when it comes to the hotel sex, keep in mind, headboard sounds, bed squeaking sounds, and your hotel room is connected to other hotel rooms. So we would have sex in the parts of the hotel that really nobody was staying in. Because there are parts of the hotel where most of the hotel people are in one place on each floor. We had the luxury suite part of the hotel where most people don't have that kind of money. So we were in that part of the hotel. So there was a little bit of people there. So we had to be as quiet as we could. And it was difficult. Because for me, and for them, so when we were in hotels, we tried our best to keep our volume down, and usually we were successful. Not always, but it wasn't like you see in some movies where they're just screaming so everybody can hear them, or squeaking so everybody can hear them. No, we weren't always successful because of the indoctrination of trauma. And we, for the most part, kept it down. Also because we were fearful of children being in other rooms and hearing us adults say and do things that they should never be exposed to any kind of way. Were we ever told about our behavior privately with a little bit of the adults, but it wasn't a castigation or a consternation. I remember it was, I appreciate the fact that y'all are even trying your best to keep it down. And that was as far as it went. And we both looked at each other in embarrassment, but not in an attack kind of way, but in a, I remember we said to each other, damn, shit, fuck. That's all we did. We said, me and the women said that to each other privately. They want y'all to know that. That's why I can tell you it. But those are the three words we came up with in terms of feeling ashamed of ourselves. So the parent, I think it was the adults. I mean, they weren't parents. They were just a little bit of the adults who were in the luxury suite like we were in. But they would encourage us as a way for us not to feel bad, because they could tell by looking at our faces, we hated, one, being caught, but two, we hated that other people were able to know. So what these adults did, they were just very much like, you know, they would look at me first, and these adults, they were more women than men. Like, the men would look at me and go, you're a kind dude. I see why she couldn't totally keep it down. But the women were more like, ooh, you're soft-spoken, you're articulate, you're warm-hearted, and you're very much easy on the eyes. I see why she was struggling to fully keep it under wraps. And those other women were like, well, I'm a bit, they even said, I don't think I could keep it under wraps when I'm with you, Antonio. And the rich women said, see, the woman, if Antonio wants you to take him, you can take him. So I ended up having sex with the women that were in the same luxury suite as me. And they didn't even try to keep their noise down at all. I just told the women, wait till the other people leave and make sure that there's no staff coming by. If you're going to do that, and the women agreed to that, so there was nobody around us, so they were very loud when I was having sex with them, but that's what occurred. And so, you know, we used protection the whole time we were in hotels. In their homes, we didn't. But outside their homes, we did. Because in their homes, it's more like, well, you know, I can just easily take a pregnancy test or an STD test and know that, okay, no babies, no infections. While the hotel, they felt like, they felt that it may be too obvious that we're in and out and being very long and looking worried, and people would figure out, oh, you think you have baby infection. That didn't happen, but they were fearful of that happening. That's why they would make sure they had condoms on for me when we were having sex. And the other women I was sleeping with in the luxury suite, we had sex. And the rich women and the other women I was having luxury suite, they wanted to have me all to themselves. They didn't want to do the orgy thing, so I slept with them all individually in the hotel. I mean, there were times where women would take road trips with me, and we would stay in a hotel either for the night or a couple of nights. And I've had hotel orgies before. The Olympics is an understatement. And the sex that I had with the women in the luxury suite, I dare say that flexibility is an understatement on that as well. So, I remember the last time I was on the Mill High Club, it was about 2014. I was in line with a woman. I was in we were leaving an airport in London. This is when I was at Beacon and met a woman, and we became attracted to each other. We were in the airport, so we were on the same flight. So we got on a plane, and this plane was taking us back to America. And she was on that flight too. So we were near each other, and that's how we met. And we decided to have sex before we get to America. So when people weren't looking and people were asleep, we had a quickie in the lavatory. Passion is an understatement on that. First time was June 2013, where I had the Mile High Club in terms of overseas. So yes, I had sex with another woman I met in line, and she and I got attracted to each other, so we, once we got on the plane back to America from Italy, this was my summer bridge programs I had at Beacon, where I this was after summer school, so I went to Italy for 2 weeks with my college, and I went back home 2013. And no, actually, that was for a little over a week, 9 days. No, that was 12 days there. 12 days in Italy, Croatia, Slovenia. So, sex on the plane with that woman before got back to America. Met her in line, and sparks flew, sexual tension high with each other. So that was the first overseas Mile High Club I joined. Second time, it happened again with another one. We were both heading to America each time. I remember those times for sure. I do remember the fact that in college, because we were traveling in packs constantly, I never had sex overseas in another country. Because the kind of college I attended, it was a group college tour when we went to all the historical landmarks and all the eateries and all the exhibits. We were always a group. That's why, you know, I did party in Italy before, but we didn't have the kind of time where you could just have typical sex. It was for hours, we were just partying with women, and that's about it. Other guys, they went off, had their sex thing, which was very risky because you had to be back at a certain time. You had to be awake the whole time. If you were found to be sleepy, then it's pretty obvious what you were doing, and that was a bad look. I didn't go with them because they would do their own thing and not bring me with them. They just wanted to dance and party and drink with women. That was about it. We was in and out of pubs. I remember that. But the kind of college I went to, you didn't get to have all the time to be with women. If we were with women much longer, I mean, eventually it would have happened between me and the women. But it just, plus, you got to understand, it was a college for students who were labeled special needs. So, I mean, that's the reality. I'm just being real. I never had sex with any of my Beacon women schoolmates ever. I never had sex with a Beacon female student. I never had sex with a Beacon female classmate. I know that's hard for people to believe, but it was strictly platonic between myself and them. And all of them can attest to the fact that they never slept with me and I never slept with them. Ever. I never slept with any of the staff. Never. They all can attest to that. I never slept with them. Because with me and the staff, it was, I'm the student, you're the teacher. And that was it at the time. I remember at such a pivotal time in my life, I remember at the time I felt like I was having consensual sex with the police officers that were women. And then I came to find out that in reality, it was sexual abuse. And it's hard for me to talk about it because every woman ever slept with was a physical abuse, sexual abuse survivor. So when it came to me and the women police officers, they behaved extremely nicely to me, and I never felt forced to do anything I didn't want to do. They were always, you're grown. Do as you please. If you don't want to do something, it's okay. If you do, that's okay. at the time, I can honestly say was unintentional adult sexual grooming, unintentional sexual abuse, like, because sometimes with survivors, some of us, not all of us, we do things and not know that that's abuse because of the power dynamics. But at the time, in my mind, it was sex. But the law would say it's sexual abuse because of the power dynamics and they abused their power. The reason why I say unintentional, because to me there's a differentiation between unintentionally doing wrong, intentionally doing wrong. Theirs was, you know, I'm trying to heal myself from the trauma. And that was my attitude. We didn't understand power dynamics. And people would go, but they're police officers. But also remember, they're police officers who were victims of trauma. So when you're a victim of trauma, you're not going to fully understand even the jobs that you take after the trauma physically ends. Even after duties and responsibilities you assume in life after trauma ends, they didn't fully understand. I didn't fully understand because they never got all the help they needed. And at the time, I never got all the help I needed. So if we would have known that the power dynamics were in place, like fully understand it, we would have never would have slept with each other. But at the time, it's more of, but you're grown, I'm grown. Okay. You're not a child, I'm not a child. Okay. But looking back on it, the law would call it sexual abuse, and I refuse to argue with the law. I refuse to debate the law on that. So I know what it's like to be sexually abused purposely as a child and unintentionally as an adult. Just wanted to reiterate that. Another thing that happened was, the road trips with the women. Yeah, I remember we would do sightseeing, you know, Universal Studios. I mean, we would just downtown Orlando, where all the hot spots were. That's pretty much our thing to do on the road trips. And enjoy our lodging and hotel lobby, everything like that. This would be sometimes after class. I remember that. I do. Sometimes after class, he'll pick me up and we'd spend the rest of the night in the hotel. They would drive me back to campus. I would do well in school, and sometimes class would let out early, or, you know, during lunch, I was pretty much done for the day, and they would pick me up, and we would go right back to downtown Atlanta Hotel, and hot spots, and hang out, and do everything, walk, boardwalk, eat, you know, and enjoy the social scene. So I remember vacation with women sometimes. I remember tutoring and playing video games and with the children of the single mothers. And the children refer to me as dad. They run up on me, hug me tight. This really happened. I remember, I remember at that time, where, you know, to be a father figure at that time, in a sense, I lived out my purpose. Even in the midst of trauma, I still lived out my purpose in terms of doing for the least of these, which is unwordably remarkable to me. I know that sounds like an oxymoron, but it is. My purpose of single mother's children, that's what I meant. I'm trying to see if there's anything else I need to say. They were always, sometimes I remember they would jump my bones physically and make conversation. Because they really, they loved my word choices when I talked to them. They loved how I talked to them. They loved that I was patient with them. That I wouldn't use technology when I was with them. I was getting a full undivided attention. They weren't used to these things from a man. And they did, some believe in sexual stereotypes of black men and brag about other white women and glorify it. And I privately told them, those things are true about me, but not all black men are. I would tell them, hey, some black men are shy, some black men are outgoing, some black men are ambiverted. Some black men are pink collar workers, some are blue collar workers, some are white collar workers. They don't all work the same job, and all of us are athletes, and they understood it after a while. And I would say, hey, but black men are not monolithic. We have each and every character trait that other types of men, and there's all kind of people I have. And I talked about the positive attributes that us black men have, not to have superiority over other people, and they understood it. So, yes, that was my entire sexual past. Oh, yes, so when I was a much younger person, I was a man, between late teens, early 20s, around that time frame. When it came to the household staff, I'll tell you. So, yes, I was sleeping with their amen. Neunsis, their au pairs. Yes, I was sleeping with the women au pairs, the women amanuensis, the women ayas, the women babysitters, the women betters/bedmakers, the women between maids, the women version of the boot boys, the women butlers, the women casual staff, the women chambermaids, the women chairwomans, char Saturday womans, the women chauffeurs, the women cleaners, the women cooks, the women versions of the coachmen, the women dairy maids, the women dog workers, the women women version of the footmen, women gamekeepers, the women gardeners, women groundskeepers, the women gatekeepers, the women groundskeepers, the women version of the hall boys, the women version of the handyman, the women head gardeners, the women house trainers, the women version of the house boys, the women housekeepers, the women kitchen maids, the women lackeys, the women ladies maids, the women lady in waiting, the women laundresses, the women maids, women housemaids, the women majordomos, the women masseuses/masseuses, the women nannies, the women's children's nurses, the women nursemaids, the women nursery maids, the women parlor maids. Basically, the women pages, the women version of the tea boys, women apprentice, foot women, basically, women parlor maids, women personal shoppers, the women personal trainers, the women porters, the women pool persons, the women postilions, the women retainers, the women retinues, the women affinities, the women scullery maids, the women's version of the stable boys or grooms, the women stable masters, the women storeroom maids, the women valets, the women wet nurses, the women tutors, the women governesses, the women secretaries, the women librarians, the women private chaplains, the women physicians, the women personal trainers, and the women's ladies companions. Yes, I was sleeping with all the women domestic workers in a nutshell. And I'll say this, that the revenge cheating was also very prevalent. There were women who would escape from their shared homes with their boyfriends, their fiancés, and their husbands because the husbands, fiancés, and boyfriends were all male misogynists, so they were emotionally abusive. They were serial cheaters with a lot of other women, and at one point they're physically abusive. That happened before I met them. So they would fight over me, and they would have heated arguments about the serial cheating, and they would sexually compare me to the male misogynist and made it seem like I was sexually supreme in terms of looks, sexual performance, etc. And the men wanted to stop them from being with me, and they escaped from the homes, never to live in those shared homes with them again. They found me, and we would go to their friend's house, or even mother and father's house, for sex. The parents knew, but they didn't care. The friends knew, they didn't care. They're like, oh, he's a good man. You know, we'll be out while y'all do the obvious. So that's what happened. And when they were to get their own places again, they got their divorces, they got their breakups, they got their legal separations, and they're able to officially leave those guys alone. And they ended up being with me. There were men who could not keep women from me. And yes, I did sleep with, like, each woman I was with, intimately speaking, sexually speaking, I mean, I did sleep with their women relatives, women colleagues, women talk buddies, women hangout buddies, women associates, women co-workers, women acquaintances, and just all the women in their life that they were in personal, professional relationships with. So that's what happened. That concludes all the sexual past stories I have. Every sex partner I had, they never counted the men in terms of body counting, but they did have the women. Because I've had such a very small, minute number of the men. The women, they counted. They didn't even count the non-binary trans adults I was with. So, because they were smaller numbers. So in closing, I'll say this. It goes to show you how trauma is powerful, but what is more powerful is healing.